In the name of the one who calls us to new life, amen. Please be seated. This is our transition summer, my husband Joe says to me. Our transition summer. Indeed, summer usually does have a transitional quality to it. There's a sense of being in between things, in between school years, in between church program years. We may find ourselves shifting into a different pace. That may mean adjusting to being on vacation and then readjusting to be back at work or school and the routine of everyday life. For our household, there are multiple adjustments happening during our transition summer. I'm adjusting to life after 5 years as a graduate student and seminarian. No more classes, no more homework. Joe and I are adjusting to newfound full-time togetherness. I'm living at home again after I spent 9 months on the seminary campus in Virginia during the week, coming home for weekends. I'm adjusting to the fact that I will re-enter the workforce this fall in a very different form from before, this time as a priest, and all of the life-changing meaning that carries. We are also adjusting to the death of Joe's mother in April, and we find ourselves having arrived at that place in our lives where all four of our parents are no longer seen, but always felt. What our life looks like today is in many ways very different from what it has looked like in the past months and years, and how we imagine it will look in the months and years to come. We're in an in-between place. I gather there is a sense of being in between for many of you as well. Perhaps in the sense of in-betweenness that follows the death of a loved one or a change in health status that comes with the departure of a child for college, in the downsizing of a home, in the loss of a way of life that you have known well and long. It can bring feelings of uneasiness, of being unmoored, like a child without a mother. And you may wonder, where am I headed? What will bring comfort? Will I ever feel settled again? These feelings are normal when we know we're in transition, and I believe they are with us, perhaps unrecognized, in the midst of our day-to-day life. They tug at us in the form of restlessness or vague dissatisfaction or longing for something, but we don't know what. Who hasn't, at some time or another, experienced some undefined but undeniable stirring within? We are creatures always on a quest, often impatiently, moving from one activity or place or person to another. We can't stay rooted for long. And yet, I'm not convinced that this is bad or unhealthy. Instead, it speaks to the inherent longing for connection with something deeper and larger than ourselves, something unseen but acutely felt, and distinctly difficult to nurture in our world today. And it seems that was true as well for the Apostle Paul's audience in first century Rome. In the passage we just heard, Paul says, "The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. Not only the whole creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly while we wait for adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What more powerful metaphor of human transition than childbirth, of groaning in the pain of labor? Men and women without children, this does include you. This is about moving from one place in life to the next, of preparing and being in the laborious and painful and sometimes protracted act of leaving one way of being and entering another. Knowing in the next minute or hour or day that all will be different, we may look ahead with joy and eagerness, with trepidation, with fear. That is the process of childbirth. We've all experienced it, whether we were birthing or being birthed. And that process is imprinted within us still, forever. We are always in between, always with an inner striving to move from one place to the next. And this seems to be the case, whether we experience the world through our heart or process the world through our brain. From the brain perspective, an influential 20th century psychiatrist said, good mental health is based on a certain degree of tension between what one has already accomplished and what one still has to accomplish. What is needed is not a tensionless state, but the striving and struggling for a worthwhile goal. What is needed is not the elimination of tension at any cost, but the call of a potential meaning waiting to be fulfilled. These are the words of Viktor Frankl, most widely known as a World War II concentration camp survivor, who devoted the rest of his life helping to give meaning to people in their lives. From the heart perspective, theologian Ronald Rollheiser says this: restlessness, longing, hunger, loneliness, a gnawing nostalgia, a wildness that cannot be tamed, whatever expression is used, it is all the same. This dis-ease is universal. Spirituality is what we do with our dis-ease. Everyone has a spirituality. It's about how we are integrated rather than falling apart. It's about how we are in harmony with the world rather than alienated from it. Spirituality, or what Paul would call living in the Spirit, is what we do with the Spirit that is already in us. Paul understood deeply the feeling of being in transition, of living in the tension, of being in the now and the not yet. This is the life in the Spirit. By most accounts, Paul's expectation was that the end of the age and the return of Christ and the completion of the new creation was imminent. That baby was coming any day now. The whole creation, groaning in labor pains to bring forth its arrival into that place of wholeness and rest and unity with God that was planted within us before our birth. That innate desire to give birth to a new existence is the source of our restlessness and our dis-ease. I believe Paul would say, living in the Spirit is what we do with our dis-ease. The inbreaking of God into our world has happened in the incarnation of Jesus. It is still happening now, and it is not yet complete. God's work isn't finished. We are in between times, waiting with hope and patience, or not, for what we do not see, but often deeply and mysteriously feel. As Paul reminds us, we have already received the Spirit of adoption as God's children. It is our choice to accept it, to live in the Spirit, pursuing and nurturing our relationship with God, and acting as the hands and heart and spirit of Jesus in the world, or to live in the flesh, in alienation from God, and in pursuit of instant gratification of our hungers. When we cry, Abba, Father, and who has not cried out, God, it is our spirit affirming that we are God's children. There is a Jewish legend that says, just before God puts the spirit into the body of a new being about to be born, that spirit is asked to forget its divine origins. And so one of God's angels presses the baby's mouth shut, making that little indent above the lip that we all have. The Spirit has already been given to us, and in some way, we cannot forget it. So in the here and now, it is what we do with the Spirit that matters. What then do we do? How do we live in the Spirit? I invite you to consider a few things. Pay attention to your longings, your restlessness, the dis-ease that tugs at you, and listen deeply. What are they asking of you? Recognize that carrying the tension of in-between time has value. It is a gestation period. It carries energy. What does your spirit want to give birth to? What energizes you and makes you feel alive? Embrace your humanness. Be gentle with your weakness. Be in community. None of us is perfect, and none of us is on our own. Talk with God, who knows our heart and what our stirring spirits long for. And you can come back next week to hear more from Paul on that. Finally, remember, God has already implanted within us a desire for God. It has been there since before we were born. And I invite you to listen to that in these words by William Wordsworth. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. Amen.